might have a new commitment for the class of 2026. That's Bryston Martinez, a top 100 offensive lineman. And look, I understand that, like many of you, I'm not really as big of a recruiting guy anymore. With NIL, you just got to make sure you got all your ducks in a row and pay the money to get the best players there at the end. But still, more often than not, players that commit to you do not decommit from you, even though I do think that will become more prevalent with NIL being what it is today. But the bottom line is this would be LSU's third top 50 recruit committed in this class. Or should I say top 100? He's number 59. But basically top 50 recruit in this class. They are doing a really good job putting a fence around the state of Louisiana, obviously with Richard Anderson, Aiden Hall, Kenny Darby, Ja'Kai Anderson, all committed alongside Jalen Chapman. So LSU, up to this point, five kids committed, all from the state of Louisiana. The number six is coming along pretty soon. There's still some other guys like Lamar Brown, who many are excited about. He is in LSU's backyard at U High. So it is fascinating, to say the least. Now, to me, this was actually an observation put out there by Zach Nagy, a very talented LSU reporter, that there is a new quarterback on LSU's roster. And I only say that in name only. He's actually always been on the roster, and his name is Juwan Johnson. Okay? I'll show you right now if you're watching via YouTube or if you're listening via Spotify, iTunes, please leave that five-star review. Bang! Juwan Johnson listed as a quarterback on LSU sports.net. Okay, you hear me sigh, because this could mean quite a few things. The first thing is that LSU just wants more depth at the quarterback position. Obviously, this is Garrett Nussmeier's job. There's no reason to move on from Garrett Nussmeier. I believe he was one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, if not the very best quarterback in the SEC. I don't say that in bias. Obviously, I've talked about it plenty of times. Garrett Nussmeier's immense weaknesses, but his unbelievable strengths. But Juwan Johnson is the most productive high school player at the quarterback position on this entire roster, because he holds pretty much every Louisiana State record as the quarterback at LCA. Now, why do I think they made this move? Well, it's simple. You got to be able to practice with more than two quarterbacks during spring. Colin Hurley, as many of you know, was a part of an accident where he was driving, and we don't know if he's going to be available for spring. Thus, you bring in Juwan Johnson, who's already there, probably knows running back pretty much by now, as that was his role on last year's team. Do I think Juwan Johnson will remain at quarterback? I do not. The only way he is still a quarterback is if LSU can't find another quarterback if Colin Hurley is unable to go next season. So, of course, you can't go through spring practice with only two quarterbacks. You just can't. There's just too many reps to go through without that third quarterback. Now, I will find it to be very interesting, though. What if he does look good? What if we overthink a ridiculously productive quarterback in high school? What if we just overthink, well, he's got to be a DB? Because you put him at offense last year, he did some good things. I don't think he necessarily has a future at running back, but he did some good things. Obviously, he knows the position, maybe not at a Power 4 Division 1 level. He's not a guy that's going to wow you with his arm. You can see that for yourself on his high school tape. But he's definitely fast enough and creative enough to play the position. So It's going to be fascinating to see how this develops. Maybe this is just a thing in name only, but I do think when you logically piece it together, since LSU doesn't have any on their current roster walk-on quarterbacks, then you're in a lot of trouble if you can't go into spring with another QB. So I don't think it's permanent. I really don't, but we'll see what happens. Okay. We say hi to Big Dex. Let's go. Now, as we move closer to spring, and I want to look at each and every one of you in the eyes, whether you're watching this live or down the road, I do think one very important thing to remember is there is a lot of people behind the scenes questioning, why do we even have spring football? And there was a report earlier today about an OTA-style spring, which I don't think would be too different than what teams already do. But I truly do believe that coaches are going to be asking themselves, man, what's the point in all of this? We got all these guys that will be coming in the fall, and they're going to change our entire roster dynamics. Why are we going through all of this when so-and-so who's coming in the fall will be a key piece of what we're going to do? And then they got to relearn everything. So, you know, my spring practice breakdowns have been one of my most popular avenues for views since I've started Power Hour LSU. I like breaking down practice footage because it's something, right? We only get 13 games a year, 15 if you're lucky. But look, I am perfectly fine with spring football remaining as is, but I don't think if they were to get away with it or just do away with all spring football, I don't think there would be a whole lot of tears being shed. And this will remain. My biggest hot take is that I think overall early enrolling is overrated. All right. Now, that take has gotten me in a lot of trouble. You guys strongly disagree with that take, and that is perfectly fine. But I do have a tendency to believe that it is overvalued. It is. And that's okay. That's okay. Now, next thing before we get to your comments, I want to talk about Mason Taylor as he is sliding up draft boards. I'm really excited about that. And one guy who I've seen pop up in a lot of different NFL YouTubers' mock drafts are Miles Frazier. All right. He's a guy that's drawn some interest from quite a few teams, and he was voted the best offensive lineman in his position group at the Senior Bowl, okay, with his team at the Senior Bowl. So both of them, I'm really excited for their NFL futures. I think that bodes well for LSU because they were both three-star recruits, and Brian Kelly can sell that development aspect. One, of course, was a transfer. And then the other, of course, was just a three-star high school recruit, 3 years in and out, and obviously some very strong genetics mixed in there as well. Next thing. One thing that really concerns me is LSU basketball just is not generating any type of interest at all from anyone. I don't really blame any of you. I really, really, really don't. Because, look, whether you're going to watch this game versus Arkansas, tips off at 8, I understand if you're just out altogether on the Matt McMahon era. But I will keep defending him in one way. This conference is brutal. John Calipari was given an unlimited NIL budget, and he has stunk this year at Arkansas, just flat out stunk. And that's a program where basketball is the biggest thing in the state of Arkansas. So I don't understand it. My Matt McMahon's teams have been the way that they are. But one simple explanation is we're just behind in men's basketball right now. And that's perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine with being LSU baseball. I'm perfectly fine with being LSU football, LSU women's basketball. LSU gymnastics, which is why I ask the poll question, because at most schools, the most popular sport is football. And the second most popular sport is basketball. I do think it's a little unique in that LSU football is number one. And while LSU basketball, in truth, is more popular than LSU baseball, it is a small margin. And it could be to the point where LSU baseball has surpassed LSU men's basketball. My favorite sport outside of LSU football is LSU women's basketball. And as we creep closer to March Madness, our LSU women's basketball streams are going to go up. You know, we did one post-game for the South Carolina game. You guys loved it. You flat out loved it. But I wanted to keep today mostly football focus, and we'll see how things go. Also, Jay Johnson met with the LSU media. Do I think LSU baseball has a legitimate shot to go to the College World Series? I would be lying to you if I gave you an answer to that. I am not one that does preseason LSU baseball projections. It's just not who I am. But when the games come around, obviously we'll do some commentary. And hopefully, if the good Lord has it, I would love to do another baseball game in Alec Box Stadium. I got to call an LSU baseball game in AB last year because a broadcaster wasn't able to do it. So I stepped in and I did the Nickel State broadcast and had a ball. I love Alec Box Stadium. I love being at a college baseball game. And I will still say this till the end of time. There's no postseason in college sports that touches college baseball. None. All right? None. But I'm really excited for Monster Milam, Stanfield, all of them. I'm really pumped up to see where this season goes. I did find it interesting. I saw Bear Jones. I think one of the LSU staffers released him doing chest presses with 110-pound dumbbells. And I'm like, okay, let's go, Bear Jones. That man is a freaking monster, all right? Now, next thing, since this is so popular right now, the Saints do have a new head coach in Kellen Moore. I think it is a fine hire knowing how the process went. It wouldn't have been my first move, but I am perfectly fine with Kellen Moore. I am, and I think with the NFC South being the way that it is, this thing could get turned around maybe a little bit quicker than many realize. And all it takes is one quarterback and one good coach. Well, we'll see how Kellen Moore does as a head coach. And I understand that when you're hiring someone with no experience, it concerns you. But this is what we all do in life. Buying before the hype. You know, I get paid to be a football card analyst. All right. So I do a show every Tuesday with my buddy Andy. And one of the big keys is figuring out who that next person is going to be. Who is that next star going to be? All right. Hiring, let's say, Kyle Shanahan makes no sense now. Why? Because you would have to pay the 49ers a lot of money. You would have to give up draft capital to get him. Kyle Shanahan wasn't a head coach before he was with the San Francisco 49ers. So, guess what? Kellen Moore's been looking for an opportunity. He was expected to take over at the Dallas Cowboys. They got rid of him. Goes to the Chargers. He gets rid of himself. And then, obviously, he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles and wins a Super Bowl. I'm perfectly fine with this move. You've got to get a coach on the upswing. All right? So, I'm fine with it. I will tell you this, I would have preferred Kellen Moore over going to get somebody like Pete Carroll, okay? And I think Pete Carroll's a better fit for the Raiders as well than he would have been for the Saints. I think Pete still has some good ball left in him, but I'm very analytics-focused, and Pete Carroll with the Seahawks, especially towards the end of his tenure, was so bad at fourth down decision-making. So there you go. Now, I also want to talk about spring depth charts. And look, I wrote this down getting ready for the show tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit about the defensive line and what you should expect in particular out of the LSU defensive tackle room. All right. One of the big things that is very important is understanding the difference between a very good player and a superstar. All right. There is a huge, huge, huge difference. All right. What the difference really comes down to is how much more of a needle mover is that superstar than your next player. And I think that is more important in college football than it is in any sport to realize, because you have such big rosters in college football. Let's just say there is a role-playing defensive tackle that goes down on an NFL team. Well, you have a 53-man roster. You have different salary cap obligations. There's different things that you allocate resources to. And while that is the same in college football, especially now, you still got a big enough roster to have guys that can fill in and eat up some of the snaps in the rotation. Now, if you were to look at LSU's defensive tackle room this past season, it wasn't that great of a room, but it kind of figured itself out. You know, Bo Davis, being a really good defensive tackle coach, did a lot of good things for that room. And Gio Paez did a good job of eating up snaps, even though he had some really rough performances. Obviously, JVR Suggs did some good things. I'm still shocked he has a year of eligibility left. He transfers out. And then, of course, you had the emergence of Dominic McKinley and Ahmad Bro, who quickly moved themselves up the ladder. All right. But to me, I don't think that there was a player that is returning next season that is a bona fide superstar. And to me, that should excite you, right? Ahmad Bro and Dominic McKinley. In particular, Bro was awarded a freshman of the year on the defensive side of the football. I'm a big fan of his. We interviewed him, had him on the channel. And the thing I like about it is he doesn't have a solid starting role next year, nor does Jacobian Guillory, who's coming back off of injury, because you're bringing in Dylan Battle, Sadir Mitchell, Brandon Brown, Williamson, all these studs. I know I'm forgetting a few names. So there are five new defensive tackles joining this room. And then you have three guys you know that are rotational level SEC defensive tackles. Three. You have Sadir Mitchell, or not Sadir Mitchell, but three guys that, you know, played for your team last year as SEC defensive tackles. Of course, that's Jacobian Guillory, Ahmad Bro, and Dominic McKinley. Now, what's very interesting about that was the year before, LSU had three defensive tackles who got drafted, and our run defense was terrible. This past season, people like me were telling you, hey, LSU's got major issues at defensive tackle. And guess what? It kind of bared out in some moments. It really did. South Carolina was definitely one of them. Alabama was definitely one of them. But our rush defense overall was better than what it was the year before. Not that much better, but it was better. And I've always been a big believer in this. If you do have a superstar defensive tackle, great. But if you were to tell me, hey, would you rather have two amazing defensive tackles or eight very good ones? I'll take the eight. All right, so LSU right now, roughly eight scholarship defensive tackles. Let's say four of them turn out to be good. Well, that right there is a rotation. Okay, so I would like to think one of two players of Ahmad Bro and Dominic McKinley hit another gear That's traditionally what happens if you are a true freshman player. Doesn't matter when or where. If you played some as a true freshman, there's normally a good chance that one out of every two of them are going to take a next step. I hope both of them do it. I'm really excited about that. But what excites me even more is that there's going to be fierce competition. Now, this to me is so important. And why going back to spring football is also important, okay? I did not attend spring practices. I would be open to going again, but there's always a piece of me that doesn't like going to spring practices because it can be very misleading, right? If you practice so much as a defensive player, you know what plays are being run and whatever. What I would tell you, though, about spring practices at LSU and also practices that happen in front of the media and not in front of the media was that the LSU run game was running the football fine in spring practices. Sometimes they were running the football dominantly. Now, why were they running the football dominantly? Because during the season, we did not run the football dominantly. And to add on to that, our best running back was not available in the spring. That, of course, Caden Durham. He was a fall enrollee. So why was the run game so good? Well, it's simple. Your defensive tackles were walk-ons. So by having so many defensive tackles all in the same room now, you are going to have better development of your offensive line and your running game. I truly do believe that. And you can go back and watch some of our spring breakdowns from last year. They're in good 15-minute segments. You can hear me say it is concerning what they are practicing against. All right, and that goes back to the Juwan Johnson thing now being listed as a quarterback. Do I think Juwan Johnson wants to be a quarterback? No, because he knows he will not play there next year. But he's doing this for the team. So we'll see what happens. But I really wanted to talk defensive tackles today. Now, coming up after this, I do want to touch on one big spring note that I feel is important, and it involves one of LSU's big opponents next year that has actually moved up the schedule.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Alrighty. I want to talk about the Florida Gators, and I want to talk to my friend, Mr. Wade Strother. What's up, Wade? Good to see you. You know, I look at Florida as a team that's very interesting.
Hey, let's go with All-Stars here right here today. Set the standard today. Let's do it.
Some Florida Gator content for you. I have watched a lot of DJ Lagway, and I just did a breakdown of his Florida State game on Power Hour SEC. And, you know, do I think that there is there might be a little too much hype with Lagway going into next year. I think that's probably true. You know, you look at Florida as a whole, they did do some forward-thinking things. They went and got some guys from the NFL to come run, you know, their front office, if you will. But you look at the trend throughout college football, quarterbacks' age matters, right? There's just not many, at least last year, year two quarterbacks that were elite. In fact, there was plenty that weren't really that good at all. Now, could DJ Lagway buck that trend? Yeah, there's normally one that is like very, 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 very good. But because of COVID, because of now JUCO rules, quarterback is going to be an old man's game. And the thing, if you're a Florida Gator fan, if you just happen to be watching me right now, I would be very concerned about that. I think Florida skill guys are really solid. I think Jaden Ball is a fine running back. Your receivers are interesting. They're not overly productive, but they're SEC caliber receivers. I like J. Michael Sturdivant, the transfer that they brought in. But a year or two quarterback, you just don't have as many snaps. You just don't have as much experience. The one thing I'll say about Lagway, though, is that Georgia game was going to be very interesting if he would have stayed healthy. And he picked apart our team with the bad hamstring. So, look, say what you want about our defense that game. I've said plenty about how bad we were defensively. And I say bad in a sense that we just did not have enough SEC caliber players playing on both sides of the football in that game. We need to be ready for DJ Lagway. Now, the thing that's interesting about them is that we normally play Florida late October, November. You know, that game got moved back to November over the past couple of seasons. They move up the schedule. So you play them earlier in the season. So you will likely be playing DJ Lagway. You will also likely be coaching against Billy Napier, who will likely still have his job by then. Okay. But to me, their spring's going to be fascinating because defensively, they have just gone into the tank. And what's fascinating about Florida Gators defense is while we're so laser focused on LSU and our defensive decline, Florida's had a defensive decline, not quite as bad, but really, really, really bad. And a lot of that is due to not finding that dude at defensive coordinator, right? They went through the Austin Armstrong experience and then the Ty Grantham experience, and it's been a mess. It's been mostly a mess. So we'll see what they could do defensively. Obviously, one of their better ends transfer over. Florida's always going to have a really good defensive line. That's just something that's just true. And where they've really struggled is where our struggles have mostly lied as well, and that is the secondary. They have struggled putting out really, really, really good DBs. Now, let's go to Jerry. Physicality on offense and defense. I miss it like the desert misses the rain. Yeah, that term gets thrown around a lot. Does LSU need to be more physical? Yeah, we could be a little bit more hard-nosed. But I will say that your run game has as much to do with the play caller as it does the dudes on the field, okay? Sequencing matters. It really, really, really does. And I'll use that term quite a bit, but I highly recommend you go watch. And it's hard to do this because, well, you have to go find it on YouTube or just, you know, skim through games. You need to watch full games in order to really grasp how good the best sequenced play callers are at doing that very thing. And look, one thing that you can do when it comes to physicality in the run game is get very creative with it. That's basically what Tennessee did. Now, Tennessee had the best running back in the SEC, in my opinion, in Louisiana native Dylan Sampson. So it made it look a little bit better than what their blocking probably showed. But Tennessee does a really good job of making you think one thing and they're doing the other. And we just don't really have a whole lot of runs that are like that. So there you go. Now, I do need to run a few errands before the big game tonight. LSU, Arkansas, battle for the golden boot in basketball. There have been some wild games between these two teams, including, who remembers, Keith Hornsby knocking down the game-winning three in Fayetteville. What was that? That was 8 or 9 years ago. I remember that shot vividly. It was from the corner. So I am really pumped up about that. Now, what I will also tell you is tomorrow's live stream, I might be getting called in to do a basketball game tomorrow for some play-by-play. So I don't know if we're going to do a live stream tomorrow. And if we do, we'll move the time around some. But I do want to do one. Okay, so be on the lookout for that. Okay? NS! Power out. LSU. Boom! Shout out again to the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience. If you're in Shreveport, if you're in Orlando, if you're in Dallas, if you're in any of those regions, make sure you book the Zion Imaging, XYAN Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience. Hey, what's up?
How are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're just live. We're getting, we're signing off.
Right now?
Yeah. Well, did you want to say hi?
No, go ahead.
You know what that means. You know what that means. That means I have to go take the trash out. NS! Power out. LSU. Boom! Tonight! Oh, we're doing steaks. Let's go. There you go, Tyler. Let's go.